Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather, the opportunity we have to worship you and to learn of you. And so we are attentive to your word, and we invite you to speak to us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. We receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome again to Zoe Christian Fellowship. And I know most of you are familiar with what we're doing, but if we have some first-time visitors, my parents, Bishop Ed and Vanessa Smith, are actually resting a little bit today. So, and so they're not here this morning, but they'll be happy to greet you next week. And I'm their son, Dr. Joshua Smith. I'll be speaking today and continuing with a series that, so Bishop and I, we're alternating Sundays. And so our general pattern is, you know, he does first and second, and I do third and fourth, and sometimes fifth Sunday. So that's been our pattern. And I've been doing a series that I haven't been able to let go of. And so we're continuing with it. And so because, like, for example, last month we had Easter and Palm Sunday, so many weeks passed from the time I spoke before, I'm going to take this Sunday to do a lot of review and then to really review from the beginning to now so that we can get back into what we're going to do. And then third and fourth Sunday of next month, I'm going to continue. But I'm a teacher by gift and by trade, so teachers like to repeat themselves. Because we don't get it. I mean, we hear it, but it takes some time. You got to say it again and again until you get tired of it, actually. But then when you get tired of it, you know it's starting to penetrate. Okay? And that's just what we have to do. So we're going to do that. And so I'm going to take this minute to review. And really what's happening is there's kind of two messages at the same time. There's the message I'm preaching, and then there's the message I'm preaching so you can receive the message I'm preaching. Okay? Because our hearts have to be softened, right? And so this message, and we're going to be talking about the witness of the Holy Spirit in confirming truth. Because a person like me speaking about, say, family, as we've talked about in past messages, you know, people have a lot of their own ideas about family and marriage and all those other kinds of things, as we've talked about. And those ideas have to be uprooted to make space for God's truth about family and marriage and parenting and those kinds of things. And we resist God's way because we have our own way, because our hearts have been hardened because of life circumstances and all other kinds of things. So this is why this is such an issue. Because we have our own thinking. And what you need to keep in mind is that the reason why I'm emphasizing this goes far beyond you. As I suggested in last sermons, I have a 500-year vision. I'm preaching this for the people who will be attending this church 500 years from now. So if there's some things difficult for you to conceive, it's not going to all happen in your lifetime. But we've got to start it here, so you need to be thinking about your natural and spiritual great-great-grandchildren. But it starts with you. Because we all come from situations that may have various degrees of alignment with the ideal. That's okay, because we're moving forward. So we'll begin with this review. And before I say that, you know, the focus has been on spiritual parenting and discipleship. Let me say this, that next month we're going to start taking signups for our parenting class next month. OK, our parenting class is going to be in June. So those of you who've been thinking about it, talking about it, listen, we should have a waiting list. That's how many folks should be involved in it. OK, because what happens with the class, see, things happen in service. We have an experience with God and you get prayed for and all those other kind of things. But then you got to go to work. Got to do it. Got to put into action. You got to activate it. So that requires some instruction. That requires some training. You got to have both. You got to have the experiences with the Lord. You got to have the breakthrough spiritually. And then you got to put in the work. Because life doesn't change unless we put in the work. The Holy Spirit empowers us, but then we have to take that next step of accountability and commitment. That's one of the things that school does, is it locks us in. Doesn't lock us in, but I shouldn't say that. What I should say is, like, we're tied to a commitment. If you want to graduate, you got to take these courses. And what happens is it teaches us to stick with something, even when we don't feel like studying, even though we don't feel like going to class, I'm going to complete it because there's something there for me. So we got to move from, man, I felt the presence of God, to I'm going to go to work whether I feel his presence or not. I'm going to follow the principle whether I feel joyful or not. That is the next step. So if it applies to you, sign up for the course. You don't have to be a parent. You might be a grandparent. You might be a foster parent. You might be a primary caregiver. You might be an uncle or an. We've had in my cohort, there was someone who signed up. It wasn't any of their biological children. It was just, I don't know if it was a godchild or a niece or a nephew, but they wanted the instruction. It's available for all of that. So more details to follow next month. We'll be taking signups for the next 4 weeks, but you can start signing up next month. With that said, let me continue with this review here. This series is an extension of our study on spiritual parenting and discipleship. Spiritual parenting and discipleship are a return to a focus on the original royal decree, be fruitful and multiply. I say royal decree because God is a king. And when we look at the beginning, he asks us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, when he's speaking there, he's not only talking about children, but he is definitely talking about children. He's not only talking about children, but he is definitely talking about children. It's a priority for him. In sum, God wants kids, lots of them. He wants lots of children. And one of the things that distinguishes humans from other creatures is how much care baby humans require compared to other mammals. It's actually quite remarkable. The care baby humans require compared to other mammals. While most baby mammals become independent in a relatively short period of time, it takes years to parent a human child into an adult. Now, I've got two. They're just 8 and 5. But every parent I've talked to who has grown, who have children who are adults, they say the parenting doesn't stop. It takes that long and then some. To support this point, I'm going to read a passage from a book titled The Brain, The Story of You, okay, by David Eagleman. And I'm going to give you some publication information so I'm legal here in quoting this. Published in 2015. The copyright is by Blink Entertainment Trading as Blink Films. And I'm reading from page 5 and 6. Okay, that wasn't for you. That was for the lawyers there. So I'm going to read this, a small passage to affirm what I've just said. It says, at birth, we humans are helpless. We spend about a year unable to walk. About 2 more before we can articulate full thoughts. And many more years unable to fend for ourselves. We are totally dependent on those around us for survival. Now compare this to many other mammals. Dolphins, for instance, are born swimming. Giraffes learn to stand within hours. A baby zebra can run within 45 minutes of birth. Across the animal kingdom, our mammalian cousins are strikingly independent soon after they're born. But God made humans special. He created us in such a way that the parenting process is vital. You can't just have the children in. There you go. You figure it out. You can't create a healthy human adult without sustained parental care. You cannot create a healthy adult, I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally and socially and spiritually. Without sustained parental care, parenting is a job. You might have a job. You might have some other thing you go to work for. We all do. But the parenting is itself a job. To think of it less than that is to diminish its value and role. I have to say it like that because our society, our world has lied to us. Because the places where we work, they don't care about our families. They don't care about our marriages. They don't care about our children. They just want us to be at work. And we have to figure everything else out. You better show up, though, if you want your paycheck. But that kind of attitude is counterintuitive. Government should actually intervene and not allow companies to do that. There should be some kind of tax system or something, or tax incentive, or we should be structured in a way where nobody has to choose between their career and their family. That doesn't even make sense. So you have people, particularly women, especially women, to some extent men in the modern society, but mainly women, who are bearing the burden of having to choose. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. But we've structured society that way. It could be different if we wanted it to. We could get things done and have families too, and it not have to compromise anybody's health. But to do that, we have to determine as a society that parenting is a priority. This is not a burden we should relegate to women to hold by themselves. It's not their fault. It's not your fault. It's the way our society is structured. Don't internalize the burden. It's not your burden. It's our society's challenge. It has to change. But just because society has different priorities doesn't mean God has different priorities. He hasn't changed at all. Human beings still require sustained parental care, naturally and spiritually. Well, I think I made this next point already. This accentuates the need of parents. And I've said this already, but I'll say it again. God designed humans in such a way that sustained care from their biological mothers and fathers is vital. I'm emphasizing biological because there are studies that show your biological parents actually matter. That is the ideal. There are interventions God has in place with foster care and primary caregivers. I'm not diminishing that. But what I'm saying is that your actual biological parents, God set it up so that they care for you. And when those things don't happen, this is why we have gaps in our development. You know this. Because we're resisting the plan of God. It's the truth. This message is not to create shame and blame and guilt for those of us who are not in those situations right now. But it's for us to say that we value what God values. So moving forward, the people 500 years from now are intact. I know that seems a long ways away, But this doesn't make sense unless you think multi-generationally. If you're just thinking about your own individual happiness, you're all right. You've probably found a situation that works well for you individually. But we are all dependent on other people. How many people have not enlisted in the military? You have not enlisted in the military. You know what happens when you did not enlist? You assume somebody else would. Now, we might have different opinions about why our country has gone to war, but trust me, if we got attacked, you'd want someone to fight. If someone came to this country and attacked it, you'd expect someone to fight. How many of us are not firefighters? When we decide not to become a firefighter, guess what we assume? Someone else is going to risk their lives to put out a fire. How many of us are not paramedics? Guess what we assume? Somebody else is going to be a paramedic. This is hard, what I'm about to say. Okay? So first of all, what I'm going to tell you is I'm not talking about folks who want to have kids, but for health reasons cannot. I'm not talking about you. But I'm talking about, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an attitude that says, I'm out. I'm not, this is not my responsibility. I don't have to get involved in that game. And that's fine because God calls people to do different things. But when you say that, you are assuming somebody else is going to have the kids. Somebody else is going to parent the kids. Somebody else is going to be the foster parent. Somebody else is going to adopt those kids. You're assuming that. I haven't really got to this place yet in my message, but listen, if we don't have children, we go extinct. That sounds crude, but there are countries in the world. This is their dilemma. They ain't enough kids because they fostered a society where people ain't really interested in getting married. They don't got time. They don't have time to do it. I know I'm getting in Kool-Aid. I know it. I got to taste cherry and I'm tasting orange and all that kind of stuff. I know it. But if we don't change our attitude, we'll be in the same place. And our society will be affected by it. Our churches will be affected by it. I'm not asking you to figure out all the logistical things of parenting. I'm only talking about your attitude. I'm not asking you to try to figure out a work-life balance. That's God's job to help you with that. I'm talking about your attitude. Your attitude. The first thing he said was to be fruitful and multiply. Now check this out, folks. This is no less true about spiritual parenting. It's no less true. Natural parenting is spiritual parenting. A natural parent's spiritual children just happen to be biologically assigned to them. In the end, spiritual parenting is really what matters because the bond between a natural child and a parent is only temporary. And the relationship between a spiritual parent and a child is eternal. Go to John 8:43. John 8:43 and 44, it says, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. And here's what he goes. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus said it. And your will is to do your father's desires. There are some people, and Jesus said it, who are the children of the devil. They are God's children naturally, but the devil's child spiritually. So at the end of the day, God wants to take those children who are children of the devil and make them spiritual children of God. That requires some spiritual birthing. That requires some spiritual parenting. Just because you have no biological children doesn't mean you're not responsible for parenting.
Come on now.
You've seen all these altar calls we've been having for the past few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
They're abandoned spiritual children. They're saying, where's my spiritual mother and father? You ever watch the Steve Harvey show? I mean, not the sitcom, but I mean his talk show. You ever see that? I watch clips of that sometimes when I'm just passing the time. And it's really interesting because he has all this advice for relationships and what have you. And, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, it's very popular. I mean, some people watch it religiously. And he talks to people and they share their problems on television and he talks to them and stuff. But you know what I noticed? You see people, they say things publicly like, why would you say that on national television? You cheated on so-and-so and this is going on. Why would you say that? You know what it is? They're getting from Steve Harvey what they never got from their father and their pastor. That's it. They don't know where else to go. That's Steve Harvey. He's it. So is this a message that's saying you got to talk to your spouse and say, oh, I think we have to have one more. Dr. Smith saying we got to have one more. That's not what I'm saying. We didn't have enough kids. Oh, well, that's not what I'm saying. And God may test your heart to adopt or to foster care. I mean, I'm not specifying the logistics for you. I'm talking about the attitude. Whether it's biological or spiritual, you have to at least have spiritual children. Because then you're expecting somebody else to raise them. So you just grow spiritually and you just grow and you don't help anybody else. You don't answer anyone else's questions. You don't walk along somebody's side. You don't call them and stand by them. For people to grow up, they need spiritual parents. Now, I gave you a clue about 4 weeks ago. We had a group of people up here, and I said, just take the phone number. You don't got to invite them over to dinner. You can if you want to. You don't have to take them to coffee. You can if you want to. All you got to do is send a text, just checking on you, seeing how you're doing. And that's all you got. That's all you got. But some people are a text message away from suicide. Text message away. They've been pondering all day and they get a text from you. That was enough. Some people are a text message away from a nervous breakdown. They lose it. They can't handle the stress and the pressure of work or family. It's not fun to say this. But parents, hey, they have a hard time too. They don't always like their kids.
That's right.
It's stressful. And you're talking to this little person and they're five and they're not an adult, so there's nothing really more you can do because they're five. But you upset. And you just need somebody to just say something. You need to talk to a grown up and say something to you because it's stressful. This idea that we have to navigate life through ourselves, that's crazy. And your life may not be perfect, but it's enough to encourage somebody else. Quit waiting for perfection. Quit waiting till you pass your class and you got this degree and somebody ordained you and laid hands on you. You can see somebody needs help and you say, look, I don't have it all together, but can I cook for you today? That just came to my, let me just cook for you today. Or let me do this for you today. Or let me take you out today. Or just spend the day with me. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Just spend the day with me. Let me pay for this or pay for that. I'm going on this trip. You coming with me. You ain't got nothing else to do. Come with me. Expenses paid. You don't have to do nothing. I just want you to be with me. You don't have to create extra time. Have people get into your schedule. I'm doing this already. You can just come with me. Spiritual parenting. Guess what? You could be a young person and be a spiritual parent. There are college students I teach, and the more grounded ones, they do a lot of counseling. Because the other students, well, I'll just say this. We're attracted to grounded people. We just are. So I have students, and sometimes they come to me and say, I don't know what to do. Everybody's asking me for advice. I say, because you're grounded. You're a grounded person. And sometimes your groundedness will rub off on somebody else and they'll be more grounded. Now, you have boundaries. You have your own life. I'm not saying to disrupt everything, but I'm saying we all play a part. We all play a part. Let me continue. So Satan fathers children. This is why we need to be spiritual parents. They need to be born again, and Christ needs to be formed in them. I'm going to continue. This is also why people without biological children are still responsible for parenting, and why the natural and spiritual family unit as prescribed by Scripture is vital. In our parenting context, natural and spiritual is where we get the essential, for lack of a better term, vitamins and minerals to function. We got to. And you may be parenting as you still need to grow and develop. That's all right. We'll just all grow together. The essential ingredients necessary to thrive in life naturally and spiritually are given to us by our natural and spiritual parents. This is why we've been emphatically addressing patterns of human behavior that exceed the scope of God's boundaries for sexual activity. He's not just saying he wants to undermine your pleasure. He's not trying to do that. But these are product prescriptions from the manufacturer. It's saying to have an optimal experience with the product, you need to follow these guidelines. Because we all know that when we step into sexual practices that are outside the scope of God's plan, you just look with your eyes. The kind of aftermath that creates and chaos that creates in people's lives. You don't need a study. You know this. And what happens in this generation, we have people, especially young people, and I'm going to talk about just for a little bit now. You're in the now. You think every generation before you is stupid and you smart. Like everybody else, they couldn't figure it out, but you got it. You're not moving. Like, advertisers can't move you. Oh, yeah, Google doesn't influence you and Facebook doesn't influence you. You got it all together, but you're doing something that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. You talk about there's something called sustainable energy. That's energy you can keep using. When you think about the environment, we're in an environmental mess because we're using energy that is not sustainable. You can't keep doing it. It's not going to last past 10 years, past 15 years. It's not going to last into multiple generations. God created these holy boundaries to preserve human flourishing and to extend his image to his offspring. Listen to me. You know, I got 30 seconds here. Listen. The San Antonio Spurs, the basketball team, they did all right this season. They did okay. But in the past, they've been a successful basketball team. And you know what people say about the San Antonio Spurs? They're boring. They're boring. Because they just do the fundamentals. And they win. Year after year. For 22 years straight, they've been in the playoffs. Because they focus on the fundamentals. We're going to be blessed by being a church, by being families, and by being people who focus on the fundamentals. They may seem boring. They may seem square. They may seem conservative. But it'll lengthen your life. It'll give you peace. It'll give you joy. You'll be grounded. At the end of the day, people prefer grounded people than people who are back and forth like the wind. And when our families are together, when our spiritual lives are together, we're grounded. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so I know I was cutting today. I know that I said some things today that are quite provocative. But I have to do it. You know, because when you do surgery, right? When you do surgery, there's different kinds of tools you use. Sometimes you use, you know, some tools are sharper than others. And some words from the Lord are designed to cut. Because the surgeon is going straight for that nerve or straight for that blockage or straight for that tissue or going straight for it. Because in a crisis situation in a surgery, there's no time to give full consideration to the patient's comfort. Because it's an emergency. Because it's a vital situation. Because if they don't act now, they can't do it. I got to say some hard things because God is... His ways are higher than our ways. They are. And it takes some maturity to not receive this message as a personal critique of you. If you receive it that way, you'll miss it. This message is to get our hearts in alignment with the heart of God. We're all tied to things that to one degree or another are not tied to God's plan. And he's trying to move us out of that into something else. But to do that, we've got to receive his truth. Now, here's how you know something's true. When the person speaking says something, and on the inside, the Holy Spirit's saying, amen to that. We have the scripture. And on the inside, what the Holy Spirit is saying, amen to that. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, God sent the Holy Spirit to be upon Jesus like a dove. And that was the Father saying, amen to that. You can listen to this man. When the Holy Spirit is working in your heart as someone is talking, it's an indication you have to respond. Because your natural thinking won't let you respond. Your natural thinking will resist the truth. Your natural thinking will go to your ways because of offense. Don't let offense be the reason that you don't come clean with the Lord. There's some things he wants to change, and it's vital and it's urgent. You cannot keep going down a path that looks right to you, but the end thereof is death and destruction and hurt and pain.